We are now about 2 months down the road, just about 2 months down the road from that shooting in Nashville at the Christian school, the Covenant School, that took the lives of three children and three adults. And if you remember, in the wake of that shooting, within hours, maybe a day, the Nashville Police Department said it would release the manifesto and other things that were the writings and the possessions of the shooter in this. Audrey Hale was the shooter's name, someone who was gender transitioning. But we have had no release of the manifesto or anything else. It has now wound its way into a court of law in Nashville. And if I've got the timeline right, and I'll find out here in a second, there was a hearing on Monday where, kind of a surprise here, 100 of the 112 families who have students at the elementary school at this Covenant school are now opposed to the release of the killer's manifesto. And they have lawyered up, and they had someone representing them at this hearing on Monday. There are separate lawsuits that have been filed, one representing the Tennessean, a media outlet that is seeking the release of this manifesto and other information. There's a lawsuit that has been filed on behalf of the National Police Association. And that kind of echoed what the Tennesseans' argument is, and that is parents must know what's contained in Hale's writings in order for them to want it blocked. The National Police Association has been upfront on this. They wanted this information out, and they wanted it out almost immediately. And if I've got the timeline right here, there is a ruling that's expected today in Nashville by the judge overseeing this, whether this goes forward or if any of these lawsuits will be blocked legally again. The judge in the district court is a judge by the name of Aisha Miles, who said she's going to make a decision on the parents, school, and church's motions to intervene by today, and then would announce a schedule to go forward. So I wanted to get an update as to where all this is, because there really is no good legal argument as to why any of this information has not been released to the media and other people, certainly to the greater good of Nashville. Because was this particular shooting working in cahoots with anyone? Was this particular shooter supported by anyone? What were the warning signs that were missed? There are a myriad of questions that are unanswered right now that may impact others in that Nashville community. Now, I had Doug Pierce, who is with the King and Vallow Law Offices in Nashville, who is representing the National Police Association. I had him on the show about 3 or 4 weeks ago to talk about this. And he's kind enough to give us some of his time here today just to give us a little bit of an update. Doug Pierce, how are you on this glorious Wednesday?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. And I think you have very accurately summarized how things stand right now.
Okay, do we know, is the judge going to rule today on whether or not this case goes forward, or has she already ruled?
We don't have a ruling yet.
Are you expecting one? Are you expecting one today?
I am expecting one today. I mean, you know, the judge has given this matter a great deal of thoughtful consideration. I have a concern that it's always possible that when the judge says I'm going to do something by a such and such date, that it doesn't happen on that date. but so far, you know, this judge has been giving this matter thoughtful consideration. And I am expecting a decision today. Everybody is expecting a decision today.
All right, a couple of questions. First of all, it seems to me those that don't want to release this, whether it's the Nashville Police Department or the FBI or whomever, you made the statement, I think, when this was initially filed, that they're relying on law that really doesn't apply, that the public does have a right to records related to a police shooting where all of the perpetrators have been killed, and therefore there was not going to be any criminal prosecution. You said at the time the Metro Nashville Police Department is relying under the rule of criminal procedure to deny public access, but those rules only apply if there's a criminal proceeding. Well, there can't be in this case because the shooter is dead. There's nobody to prosecute. So they're kind of falling back under cover of this, are they not?
You are correct. I mean, to fall back on that first one, the rule of criminal procedure, I mean, the Metro Police is holding out the possibility they might find someone who maybe, as you say, was working in cahoots, was conspiring with the shooter. But, you know, it's been about 2 months since the shooting, and although some things take a while to find out, I would think that if... I mean, we got a good police department here. If there was someone else working, conspiring with the shooter, I think they would have had that person by now.
Right. Okay. There's an attorney working on this case from the opposite side, a man by the name of Eric Osborne. And he's representing 100 of the 112 families at the Christian Elementary School who want this manifesto buried. They don't want it released. Why would all of those families want that manifesto buried if indeed there were three children, what I would guess would be involved in the 112 families of that school, plus three other adults, teachers and whatnot? Now, why would the overwhelming number of parents representing, I guess, 100 of 112 families at that school, why would they not want it released?
Well, number one, that's an excellent question. And number two, obviously, you've got to ask that question to Mr. Osborne and his clients. But I can tell you what they have said. They express a concern that there would be copycat killings. Now, I'm not sure what that means. Is he suggesting that there would be a repeat performance at that same school? That seems very unlikely. I mean, you know, you go down the history, Columbine, Sandy Hook, all of the schools where we've had these massive things, there's never a repeat a tragedy like that. Yeah. Is he suggesting that there's going to be a repeat performance at some other school and somehow that this release would cause that? I don't see how that could happen. Yeah. But as a practical matter, it's very unfortunate, but, you know, these school killings do keep happening. By denying access to this public record, and it's undisputed, it is a public record. The only question is whether there's a legitimate exception for it. I don't think you're going to stop the next killing from happening. And there has been played here in Nashville, and I think that there is a good bit of expert proof to establish that if this manifesto or whatever, the writings of the shooter are made public, they can be analyzed, taken advantage of, and that can help minimize the risk in the future.
Yeah, I think it's a disingenuous scheme on Osborne's part because it could also cause the sky to rain. It could also cause an outbreak of flu. I mean, it could cause any. You could make a case up for something not being released, a cause for anything. It may be cause for a parade. Nobody. I mean, it's just disingenuous, I think, and a disingenuous argument. And I would think a judge of any merit would look at that and say, this makes absolutely no sense. It almost seems like, and I understand this. I mean, Doug, you probably understand it too. I think the people that have children at that school would love for all of this to go away. They would love to bury this thing completely and make believe that it would never happen at all. But that doesn't mean that they have a right to bury evidence that may be used not only to further the case of Audrey Hale against anyone that might have been co-conspiring with Audrey Hale, but also as a warning sign to other police departments in your area and across the country. Hey, here's more information of what this sick mind did, and it might have a nugget or two that no one has been talking about in other shootings like this. So this is kind of a disservice, really, to the greater good. And I would think if this judge is as thoughtful as you say she is, I would think the judge would have to see that, wouldn't you?
I don't want to predict what's going to happen. I mean, there are laws in this state that do provide some protections for victims, you know, Victims' Rights Act. I do not think that those Victims' Rights Act extend so far as to create exceptions to the Public Records Act, certainly in this case. The documents that we're talking about are not documents that were created by any of the church, the school, or the parents. They weren't created by them. They were never possessed by them. They were a completely separate third party. Now, maybe the documents mention them, but that in and of itself, I would not think would be sufficient to implicate the victim's rights concerns.
Sure. How far out do victims' rights extend past the victim, to family, to extended family? Where do they go? And I understand there's a lot of files that make up the manifesto or whatever else that might have been in this person's possession. But again, it goes back to a question that you and I talked about 3-4 weeks ago. Who's the heavy here? Is it the Nashville Police Department or is it the FBI? It sounds to me it might be the FBI.
Well, now I will tell you this. Although the Metro Police continue to rely upon this rule of criminal procedure, saying they have an investigation, and they claim they do have an ongoing investigation, they do claim that they are prepared to release a redacted version of these writings of the shooter, subject to what the court and what the parents or who and the church and the school have to say. Now, number one, they don't have to. If a party wants to go ahead and eliminate the cause of the lawsuit, they don't have to involve the court. That would simply moot a lawsuit, and that happens all the time in different sorts of lawsuits. And then as to whether the church, the school, and the families or parents have any right, I don't think that that's what we're talking about right now. We don't see that that is a right that they have.
Yeah. So this decision by the judge could come at any time, and I know nobody likes to predict what happens in a court of law, because that's probably the diciest thing you can do if you're in the legal profession. But if this indeed does go forward, what would be the most likely ruling? Would it be either block it completely or we're open for business? I mean, is there any middle ground that she could go down on?
Oh, yes. I mean, the middle ground is because there are a number of documents. It's conceivable that the judge would say you get this document but not that document. You get this document, but there's going to be redactions. So that might be the middle ground you're talking about.
Yeah. All right. How late are the courts open down there, Doug? Probably for another 4 hours or so? Or are you going to have to stick around the office for 4 hours? I mean, a lawyer working into the late afternoon is kind of unheard of. I mean, do you have to stick around until about 4 or 5 o'clock?
Well, now with the e-filing, you know, electronic filing, I mean, anything can be filed at any time, 24/7, basically.
Yeah. Well, I hope the judge does the right thing and lets this go forward, because the greater good, and I understand exactly how the families would feel, but the greater good here is really for what it might provide to other police departments, might provide to parents, might provide to anybody that want to make sure that they have their antenna up and can fully protect themselves and their loved ones. So I'm with you on that. I hope this thing is something that goes forward and we can find out once and for all what the thinkings of a twisted mind were on that awful day a couple of months ago. Doug, we'll continue to check in, and we'll be keeping our antenna up here for what may transpire later this afternoon. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Okay, great to talk to you.
There he is. Yes, sir. Doug Pierce.